Hello, everyone. This is Deborah Richardson, and today I am putting the AP in Happy, where accounts payable teams are empowered to protect the vendor master file from fraud. This podcast will give a voice to accounts payable team members by talking about the growing reality of cyber attacks in their world and which vendor setup and vendor management techniques they can apply to protect the vendor master file from fraud. Visit the Vendor Process Training Center to enroll in your choice of 55 plus training sessions that will help you and your team avoid fraud, compliance fines, and bad vendor data. Or just sign up to get access to vendor process FAQs and to attend weekly drop-in live Q&A sessions. Visit training.deborahrrichardson.com today. The link will be in the show notes. Next month, July 2023, the Federal Reserve will launch FedNow Instant Payments. Now, this means that there is the potential that your company can pay your vendors via an instant payment. So what does this mean for the vendor team? Keep listening. Welcome to episode 244. FedNow Instant Payments launches July 2023. What does it mean for the vendor team? Now, if any of you have downloaded my vendor validation reference list, which I have for free, and if you haven't done that, you can do so. There's a link in the show notes, but what's included on that are 16 different vendor validations that I think everyone needs to do. And they are, or let me rephrase that, that you may need to do based on your company, your industry, your company processes. And so some of them can be optional, but other ones I actually think everyone needs to do. But, and I do have those listed with an asterisk that I think all U.S. entities need to do. But to go on and talk about the reason I'm bringing that up is because if you are paying a vendor that has a U.S. bank, and let's say you don't have any validation service, like bank validation service that you're using, I recommend that you, or I always recommend, so it's on this vendor validation reference list, that you validate that financial institution or that your vendor's bank routing number. And for two reasons. One, because you want to make sure it's a valid routing number, right? Banks merge and get acquired all the time. And so that could change. And that's actually something that your vendors kind of rarely tell you. And if you don't change it when it's been updated, you could actually be fined by NACHA because that's in their operating rules. And so I recommend that it be checked because of that reason to make sure it's still valid. And then also because for U.S. financial institutions, some of them have a different routing number for ACHs versus wire. And again, vendors don't always know that. And so when you're setting a vendor up, if you don't have any other way to validate, like if you don't subscribe to a service to validate bank account information, maybe even including bank account ownership validation. But in any event, this can be manually done. It's free. And so I include it as a link on the vendor validation reference list. And I always recommend, again, that it be done. Well, the Federal Reserve, which is the site that I send you to do that, is now coming out with their instant payment service called FedNow. And it launches in July of 2023. And this podcast is coming out the last week in June. So maybe when you listen to this, it will already be launched. I haven't seen an actual date though. So it just says July 2023. So for this episode, I want to talk about one, two, three things. One is, what is it? And then the second one is how do you use it? And then the third thing is, what does it mean for the vendor team? And so let's start with, what is it? So it is an instant payment service that you can use through your financial institution to make instant payments to your vendors. Three caveats that regarding these payments. One is that the banks or your financial institution, they're not required to make FedNow instant payment service available to its customers. So you might want to check to see if that's something that is going to be, or your company, right, is going to do. And maybe they are not, because the bank that you're banking with does not offer that service. The second thing is that it is for domestic payments only. So no non-US banks or no non-US financial institutions. The third thing is, and this is probably, I don't know how big this is going to be for you, but this means that you can make payments to vendors 365 days a year. And this could help you to avoid late fees. It can also help those of you that are, right, when you're creating or generating your pay file right before a holiday, you will typically pull in additional payments that are due before the next time you're going to run a pay file because of the holiday. So in essence, you're pulling in payments that if it were not for the holiday, you would not be paying early. And so maybe this can be used to offset, you know, that working capital loss that you would get by making that payment early. That being said, right, I know a lot of you listening are larger companies, right? And I know I've mentioned this before in the podcast. When I was a practitioner dealing with vendor setup and maintenance, at one point I also had payments as well. And so I know that we would pull in payments early into that pay file, right? But we had thousands of payments. And as you'll see when we walk through the how do you use it, this is not for, you know, those thousands of payments, right? It would be too manual to try and do that if you've got a large volume of payments. But maybe, right, if you've got a one-off payment, a one-time vendor, a special occasion payment, we used to have them for like events. And so we would have to pay whoever we brought in for that specific event. And maybe that was during a holiday. So maybe this is an option for that. Or maybe if you are smaller, this may work. So let's then jump into how you use it. Now, I took this from a video from FedNow off of YouTube, where they explain how the process works. And the video is the FedNow service illustration, and it's from the Federal Reserve Bank Services YouTube channel. And so I will link that in the show notes so you can check it out. I think it's 4 minutes long. All right, so here is the general flow. Now, first, you're going to log in through your bank's portal or mobile app. And I don't know if I've specified this before when I talked about what is it, but your bank has to provide their own portal or mobile app to use the FedNow instant payment service. But once you're in there and you get to the correct screen, you're going to enter in the amount And then you're going to select your bank account that you want the payments to come out of. And this could be a drop down. It is in the video. If you have multiple accounts, all right, so you have to tell which account you want the payment to come out of. Then you're going to enter in your vendor's bank account number, and you're going to enter in the vendor's bank routing number. And then lastly, you can enter in a memo, and that memo could be, right, an invoice number. And, you know, let me just also say, I just talked about how, you know, your bank is going to have to provide a user interface, right, portal or mobile app, or maybe both. And so maybe the fields that you have to fill in will be different, but this is all apparently that the FedNow Instant Payment Services requires. And notice it did not include a vendor name in it. Anyway, once you enter that information and send it off, it's going to send it to the FedNow Services. FedNow Services is going to send it to your vendor's bank. Your vendor's bank is going to reply and say, yes, this is great, back to the FedNow Services. And then the FedNow Services will provide a confirmation of service. And I think that is both to, or they're going to provide that to both the vendor's bank and also to you as well, or to your bank. Now, in the future, they didn't give a date, but they are saying that you will be able to send payments via an identifier, like email address or phone number. And so most of us are used to doing that maybe on a personal level with Cash App or Venmo or PayPal, or maybe you already pay, you know, some of your vendors via one of those instant payment apps. So that's coming in the future. I also do want to say that in the video, they point out that companies can use it for payroll or inventory. They don't talk about like regular vendor payments or trades payable vendor payments that are not inventory. I don't know why they left that out, but you certainly can make those types of payments through FedNow Instant Payment Service. All right, so now that you know what it is, now that you know in general how to use it, what that flow will look like, and keep in mind, this has not been deployed anywhere, and so all of this is very general. It could change, but you got an overview of how it could work, and so that is enough information that we can start to talk about how this is going to affect the vendor team. So let's get into this third area. And so what does it mean for the vendor team, right? The first thing that I thought, and I have two things here, maybe more will come up, but the first thing is that because there is the ability to do quicker payments, it could lead, right, from your internal employees. Not necessarily, I wouldn't think, from the purchasing team for vendors that are for purchase order vendors, right? Not quite sure if it affects them as much as it might affect those internal team members that have relationships with these non-purchase order or non-PO vendors. If your company has instant payments available, they may want to take advantage of it because it's a quicker payment, and because they're trying to get their vendor paid quickly. Like, when aren't they trying to get their vendor paid quickly? But again, because they know this service is available and they can get their vendor paid quicker, they may request that the vendor setup be quicker as well. Right. And so they know that they can get their vendor paid in hours. And so if it's a new vendor, the vendor has to be set up. Or if it is a change in vendor banking, that may need to be done, or they may require or ask for that to be done quicker as well. And you probably, for those of you that have listened to any of my podcasts in the past that dealt with vendor setup and the timeline, right? I don't think that this should really affect what you're doing at all, unless you choose to accelerate, right, where this request is in line. And so typically what I will see with clients and folks that reach out to me with questions is that they have a turnaround time for a vendor setup request. And if you choose, I've always said that if something is truly urgent and needs to be paid quicker than most, and meaning a vendor record needs to be created or updated quicker, that maybe, yes, you can accommodate that request. You have a process for it or policy for it. And that policy should say that you're going to do all the same validations that you normally do. You're just going to move them up in the line. And so if you've got, 10 requests out there and this one came in and it's the last request that came in, normally you would do it last. But if it's an urgent vendor setup, because it's an urgent vendor payment, just move it to number one, right? And we used to do this when I was a practitioner all the time, especially when it came to year end. We would have, actually, I would assign either one or two team members that will handle urgent requests. And that way, the other team members could just continue working in their queue as normal. And then we would have a process where we would pull requests to do them urgently. And so that is what I think should be done if, because of these new instant payments, your internal team members assume or require or request that you create vendors or update vendors quickly to accommodate that urgent payment request. All right, so that's the first scenario that I think may happen as a result of your company being able to make instant payments to your vendors. The second one, and this is probably something that you guys have already thought about. I know it's been out there across YouTube, across different webinars, but it's really the fraud risk, because we saw the fraud that happened, right, with Zelle and other payment apps, and particularly Zelle, because they refused to refund those fraudulent payments. They kind of blamed the user on those. But I think at some point they reversed their policy. But that does bring up the issue of fraud. And we know that, again, fraudsters get into all new products, and I am sure that they are looking for a way to get into this one. So the question is, how do you mitigate that fraud? And we know that if you make an ACH payment to that vendor's bank account, that if you know about the fraud in time, you could possibly get that money back by reversing it, recalling it. And even sometimes if it's further out, because most banks will give you a period by which you can recover or recall the funds. And then after that period, it's usually harder to get it back. But I've read with some FBI reports and other, publication or press releases from companies that have experienced fraud, that they've worked with the FBI and Secret Service and were able to get those funds back even further out, right, than what your bank's thresholds for recalling or reversing those payments are. So let's really quickly do a high level flow of that ACH payment from your company and your bank to your vendor's bank. So you are going to make an ACH payment. You are going to pull that vendor's banking information into the pay file. That same day, you're going to send the pay file to the bank. The bank will acknowledge it. The next day, they will send it to your vendor's bank. Your vendor's bank will get it the day after that. So let's say 48 hours. And this could change depending on financial institutions, but it's generally going to get to your vendor's bank in 2 days. And that 2 days, right, could be the difference between you getting that payment back if it is an invalid or fraudulent payment. With instant payments, you don't have that. It's immediate. So they have not, and I have not seen, and this could just be me not knowing where to go, or maybe they haven't published this yet, right? What options are available if you determine that that payment was made to a fraudulent bank account? Like if you determine that you've been a victim of business email compromise where a fraudster was successful in getting you to change vendor's banking to a fraudulent account. All right. So that being said, let's talk about some ways that you can mitigate risk. And first and foremost, I think no matter how you are making payments, and especially if you are still receiving vendor documents and requests via regular email, that you have to have authentication techniques, internal controls, best practices, and vendor validations in place to avoid not only fraud, but also compliance fines and just overall bad vendor data. And in order to add those to your process, and what I call that is plugging up the gaps, right, in your vendor process. In order to do that, then you really need to look at your process from end to end. And that way you can see where you have gaps. So a great example of that is I have quite a few clients that had that confirmation call in place, but still had a fraudulent payment. And that is because they've got gaps other places in their process. And one gap that I see often is that the assumption is made if the vendor, let's say change of banking, is submitted by the internal team member, that is taken as kind of gold, right? And you don't need to place that confirmation call because the internal team member has a relationship with the vendor, they know the vendor, and so automatically the assumption is that the information did come from the vendor, when in fact the internal team member was social engineered, right? And so you do need to make sure that you're plugging up those and other gaps in your process. Now, I do have a 7-step plan or 7-step process for reviewing your process to plug up those gaps. And it's free. I'm going to go ahead and put that in the show notes. So in order to add in those authentication techniques, internal controls and best practices, vendor validations, you have to know what your entire process looks like. And so I will put a link to the recorded webinar. It's only 30 minutes that you can review to see how you can do that internally. The next thing is I think this is the perfect time now that you need to, if you haven't been able to get your request for bank account ownership validation approved, I think this is the perfect time to ask for it, right? Because payments are going to be going out faster. Don't know how or if you're going to be able to get those back. And so verifying that the bank account that you are about to instant pay belongs to your vendor, then you need to have bank account ownership validation in place. And I talked earlier about my vendor validation reference list. I also include on that list four or five different options or service providers that you can get bank account ownership validation service from. And so again, that link to download that free resource is in the show notes. So make sure you click it and download that. All right. So I think that the bank account ownership is important. I think plugging up your gaps is important. And then I also think that this might be the time to switch to or to implement a vendor self-registration portal. And I say that because more than in the past, vendor self-registration portals, most of them have the ability to do vendor validations automatically, as a matter of fact, including bank account ownership validation. Now, you do need to make sure that you're doing adequate due diligence before you select a provider, but most of them have the ability to perform the validations that you need, including bank account ownership validation. And that's doing it automatically, right? So you don't have to worry that maybe someone didn't do a validation, right? If it was, if you still have a manual process, it's going to be done automatically. And so having a vendor self-registration portal now more than ever can be the key to preventing fraud. Not to mention the fact that it gets vendor supporting documentation, which could have sensitive information on it, like their banking information, like their social security number, if they are, you know, a single member LLC, an individual sole proprietor, anyone in that first tax class on the W-9, if they're a U.S. vendor. And so I think getting it out of email can also help with fraud as well. And again, with these instant payments, especially if you're going to have a large vendor volume that's going to be paid via instant payments, it's probably the time now, the opportune time to go to leadership and get your project approved. All right, so those were two ways that I think the vendor team will be affected by these instant payments. And one was the quicker payments means that you're now going to have requests to have a quicker turnaround for your vendor setup. And mitigating that was to not do validations, just move it up in the queue. And then the second thing that I think is going to affect the vendor team is the increased fraud risk, because it's harder to get back these instant payments, which means it's going to put more pressure on the vendor process to not let in those fraudulent banking details. And so that means redesigning your vendor process to plug up the gaps. If you don't have it, asking your leadership now for bank account ownership validation services and or implementing a vendor self-registration portal, where nowadays most have automated validations that include bank account ownership. Oh, and I forgot to mention that, let's say you are asking your leadership for bank account ownership validation services. A lot of those providers have an API, and they can API right into your accounting system or ERP. And so when that information is entered, it can automatically be checked. So you don't necessarily need a vendor self-registration portal. But again, I like them because it gets the vendor's information out of risky email. All right. So that is it for today. Make sure that if no one brings it up, that you reach out to, you know, your leadership, your treasury team, whoever you need to reach out to see if instant payments will be available for your company, and take the appropriate steps for your company. So thanks, everyone. I hope you enjoyed the 244th episode of the Putting the AP in Happy podcast, where accounts payable teams are empowered to protect the vendor master file from fraud. Don't forget to check the show notes for the links mentioned in the podcast. And if you enjoyed this episode, consider subscribing and writing a review of my podcast on the platform that you use to listen. Stay happy.